Everyone. Okay. First of all, it's a real joy to be here. I love nothing more than to share God's love with God's people and to those who do not yet know him. It is so important that as the people of God, we trust in who he is. And this morning, as we opened the service, we opened with that most marvelous reading from Hebrews. Who is this Christ that we worship? Who is this Christ that cares for us? He is the very essence of the Father. We must remember that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and his humanity, he was born of Mary, just as we are born, and therefore he is truly and properly man and God. And man is in heaven, in the risen, exalted, glorified Christ that we read about in the first three verses of Hebrews. He is the one who prays for us 24/7 hours a day. He is the one who never slumbers or sleeps. He is the one whose heart, though often broken, never gives up on the ones for whom he died. And who are those for whom he died? Every man, woman, and child born on this earth, whether they be Muslim, Hindu, or whatever their labels might be, Christ died for them. Yes? Yes? Praise the Lord. I bring you greetings from Union Street Baptist Church. Please pray for us. We are without a minister at the moment, and we are in that long process the Baptists have of finding the right man or woman to lead our church. Please do pray for us. We need encouragement, and we have a very good diaconate who are encouraging those who are members and friends of that church. My theme for this morning is, when Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? We look at the world in which we live, and we see that our Christian faith is diminished somewhat in the country that sent so many missionaries, particularly back in the early 19th century, the 1800s, we did marvelous missionary work where we sent missionaries to Africa, we sent missionaries to India, we sent missionaries to all places under the sun. And now we have African missionaries coming back to us, trying to reignite that first love for Christ. And my friends, we have a hard job in that it is harder to reconvert a nation than to convert. When I go to India and I go into the tribal areas with the ministers, there people hear about Christ, would you believe it, for the first time. And so many come to Christ with open hearts, with tears of forgiveness, because they move from darkness to the light of Christ, to being held in thrall and held under certain rules and regulations, to the freedom of Christ. But you see, our country has been there, but sadly no longer walks as it once did. But I don't want to depress you this morning. I want to fill you with hope, because when God saw the world that he had made, he saw that men and women had become creatures of violence, creatures of dishonor, creatures of lacking in respect and neglect of him. And in those days after creation, he looked at the world, and how sad my heart is that God regretted creating mankind. And he said he would destroy all living creatures on the earth. And in that reading from Genesis, there was one man who came under the grace of God. His name was Noah. And because of that man, his sons, Ham, Japheth, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I knew them this morning. Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives were saved. Always, always, in the darkest days, there can be found people that are good, in the sight of God. If we follow the history of the people of God, the Israelites, all the way through the desert as they moved from slavery to freedom, it was the remnant always that stayed faithful to God. And because of the remnant, God stayed faithful to his people. And I believe that those of us who follow Christ today are part of the remnant in this country that remain loyal and have such a responsibility and a joyful responsibility before God to continue to make Christ known. Oh, my friends, if ever you feel that your first love for Christ is ebbing through doubt, through fear, through looking around as Peter did and saw the tempest, and we look around and see all the chaos in our land and in the world, turn your eyes back to Christ. Look on him. Read his word more avidly. Read the Gospels. And not only when you read them, put yourself into them so that as you walk with Christ through the Gospels, so you begin to understand his heart and his concern for the people. In Matthew, I love that reading in Matthew about the last days. When did the last days begin? The last days began the day that Christ died and rose again and ascended to heaven. The last days began then, because Jesus had come and he had returned to the Father. And there we are now walking in new days, the last days before his wonderful return to earth. As I drove here this morning, I tootled along. I don't like to rush to a service. And my eyes just beheld the glory of the skies, blue skies, a hint of summer. Wonderful. I was so transformed in myself. And I just said as I drove along at 60, so gently, Lord, how wonderful is your creation. I thanked him for it coming here in this place. And in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus speaks about the last days. When is Christ coming again? My friends, never be deceived or anxious when you hear people quote dates. Because not even Jesus, when he walked this earth, knew when he would come again. Only God the Father knew. It is not for us to know, but it is for us to be prepared. You know, we might stop breathing in a moment. Gone. Are we ready at this moment to meet with Christ? Are we ready to greet him with joy and with wonder, with thanksgiving because we are a redeemed people belonging to him? The day will come when one will be taken and one will be left. When Christ comes again, will we kneel before him in awe and wonder and joy? I can't believe it. When I was converted so many years ago now, back in 1961, even though my eyes were shut tight, the brightness of the light and the glory of God was there. And I knew that had I been able to see through that light, I would have seen Jesus himself, but it would have been too much for me. And God protected me that day from his full glory, but he gave me a glimpse of the future glory we will enter into when Christ comes again. Think of those who, when Christ comes again amongst us, will kneel before him in fear, in dread, in terror, because they have ignored him and they have denied the promptings of God's Holy Spirit. We have a task to make these people hear, to share with them, perhaps not by batting them across the head with the Bible, that does no good at all, but by coming alongside when someone is sorrowful, coming alongside to those who've lost their jobs, and not always speaking, but being there. And when the opportunity comes to speak, share not only from the word of God, but your testimony, who Christ is to you. Make Christ the Christ of today, the living Christ, amongst us. How do we see the living Christ? We see him by the indwelling of his Spirit in each of our hearts. As Christians, you know, we are so tempted to separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We make them almost three gods. But he is not. He is one. Who will be on the throne in heaven when we come before Christ? The slain Lamb of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one being will be there. And we have, as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the very Spirit of the living Christ. And he is the one who prompts us and guides us. And in our consciences, we know when things are right and things are wrong. And the closer we live to Christ, the better it is for us to understand the way that he wants us to go. I asked to be handed out, as I came this morning, a little leaflet to you. My heart is still Salvation Army. I had a heart scan, you know, and I had one of these funny turns where, you know, things go flippity-flop. It was all right, folks. It was all right. It was just a flippity-flop. But the gentleman who took my scan said, "Do you want to see it on the screen?" "Oh, yes, please," said me. "I'd like to know what's going on inside, you know." And would you believe it? All my heart, with all the little bits that were happening, was red, yellow, and blue, which is the colours of the Salvation Army. And I said, "I knew I was Salvationist through and through." But even though, as a Baptist minister, labels don't matter, it is Christ that matters. And if we are one in Christ, it matters not what labels we put on ourselves. But it is important that we belong to a church where we are nurtured, where we are loved, where we are encouraged. William Booth was a man born, like most prophets are, before their time. He had a wisdom and a knowledge of God that many of us are still seeking. And he said at the end of the 19th century, now that's 1899, all right, 1899, he said these words: "The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be," that was the 19th century, "religion without the Holy Spirit." On the Salvation Army crest, you will see blood and fire. The blood of Christ and the fire of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have one and be truly his without the other. Religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics. Thank God for your prayer this morning, Helen. Thank you, dear. Politics without God. Oh. And heaven without hell. How often do we hear of hell in our churches? Not popular, is it? Not fashionable. Is it real? Do you know Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven? It's real. And how I thank God, because of Christ, we have passed from death to life, from darkness to light. And I just want to share, if I may, a few thoughts with what was he meaning when he said these words, "religion without the Holy Spirit." I mightn't be popular, but I don't really care. Religion without the Holy Spirit breaks us. If we are only a religious people that follows the laws of that religion, we have no heart, we have no life, we only have legalism. Paul, when he was Saul, was a legalist. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law, upside down, inside out, and up, all ways round. You couldn't fault him. And he was perfect in the law. But he was not perfect before God. And it wasn't until he met Christ on the road to Damascus that his heart was changed. And he became a man filled by the very Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and that changed him. That changed him completely over a period of time. He had to grow into Christ, as we all do. So religion will break you. It is but a subject, but a knowledge. But religion with the Holy Spirit becomes a living force in our lives. Christianity without Christ. I get so mad. I go to churches and they say, over 200 people have come through our doors this week. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's not. They come to do yoga, would you believe, in some churches? Woo! I'm afraid that wouldn't happen in a church if I had any rule of it. They come in and they'll come to things that the state wants with social services. They'll come in, very useful, not putting that down at all. And many other events. But the name of Christ is not mentioned. Kindness and community service is being done. But, you know, there are many halls beyond our churches where these things can be done in our society. If people come through our doors and we have a luncheon club, perhaps, please say grace before you take the food. Remind people that God is our provider. God is the one in whom we trust. We are different. We are different to the peoples just of the world. Christianity with Christ, don't confuse it by doing just good things. Many humanists, many people who do not claim the name of Christ, do wonderfully kind things. Bless them for it. Men and women of goodwill, that's good. But you know, it is even more good if you can bring Christ. But the reason why you do these things is because your heart is filled with his love. Forgiveness without repentance. How cheap forgiveness is today. But you know, for us to be forgiven, it cost God his son. And if any of you here have had the grief of losing a child, you'll know the sorrow and the heartache and the pain that will never leave you in this earth. And that is how God's heart was broken when Christ died for our sin. Forgiveness, if truly given, is not cheap. And it will cost us. It may cost us our pride to say that we are sorry and that we need to be forgiven. It may give us, may demand of us courage to go to someone who really loathes us because of something and say, look, you did this. If you're sorry, we will forgive and we will, to our best ability, forget. Forgiveness is not cheap. Do not treat it as a cheap thing. Politics without God. This country in the last three governments has been led into a moral decline that my heart breaks for our nation. For our children are being taught today on moral issues, things that are totally against that which God stands for. The one subject I want to bring up is, please protect marriage. Marriage is between a male and a female, a man and a woman. That is marriage. Now, there are those who live together, female, female, male, male, in a loving relationship. And that is a fact. And we are not to put blinkers on as Christians and pretend these things are not happening or do not concern us. They do. But, you know, before God, two women standing in a church before God to be married is not his plan at all. From the very beginning, way back in Genesis, it was a male and a female who came together that they might procreate and increase mankind upon this earth. Love is a wonderful thing. And I do believe that two men and two women can love each other. I'm not stupid about that. But please, please, protect marriage itself. Our children are being taught that there is no difference. On our legal forms now, it is no longer husband and wife. It is partner. The Christian aspect of life is diminishing in this land. please, please, in your simple, ordinary way of living, lift the truth of Christ and his desire for mankind, that we may indeed show a better way, God's way of living. Heaven without hell. My friends, we can have hell on earth, and I've got a box of time. We can have hell on earth. And I think there is a big hell for some people who on the internet wanted to have extramarital relationships. Even though they were married, they were seeking extramarital relationships without the knowledge of the one to whom they were married. And it has been hacked. I'm sorry, I'm very naughty, but I did have a little giggle. Because you see, unfaithfulness today is just one of those things. No one seems to bother about it. Young girls are having babies at the age of 14. Yes, it's a mistake. It's an error. You must love them. You must care for them. You must encourage them. But when that young girl becomes 40 and she's got three other children unmarried by two other men, no, 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 no. It is not. It brings unhappiness. It brings insecurity. God's way is best. Hell on earth when these dear people, everything falls. And my heart bleeds for them. I've lived amongst such situations. And my heart is sad. Anyone can make a mistake. But when people are taken advantage of and little children are born to insecure situations, it is not the way of God. There can be a hell on earth, but there is a hell when Christ comes again. And those who love him are taken to be with him. And those who are left, they will be cut off from the very presence of God. They will not know what it is to be loved. There will be an emptiness and a darkness that will be terrifying for them. My friends, will Christ find faith on the earth when he returns? I want to say yes, Lord. For there will be a remnant in all those who love you, small in number compared to the whole universe and the whole earth's population, but we will stand firm for Christ, and we will let his forgiveness and his love be known, that we may touch lives and bring them to Christ. How great will that be? What a challenge for each one of us. And particularly for me, Lord, may he use each one of you to touch another and bring them from darkness to light. Amen. Oh, I'm going to announce the last hymn.